In the first portion of today's Gospel, our Lord gives us the principles by which we are to guide it when making fraternal correction. Indeed, often this passage is so misunderstood, for it seems that many see it as a way to drive our neighbor, to drive our brother almost to the brink of despair. But if we understand in context of the Scripture and in light of the teachings of our Lord, then we know this cannot be a legitimate interpretation, for our Lord constantly reminded us that he came to save the sinner because he did not wish the death of anyone, that is, their death in sin. And so our Lord is telling us that first, if one sins against us, and also by this, he simply doesn't mean if the sin is personally directed against us, but if we see any of our brothers in the faith sinning either against ourselves directly or against others, then we should go and tell him in private so that he may come to his senses. Our Lord, always and everywhere, is showing us not to take vengeance, but working in always having the intention of seeing the conversion of the sinner. He next instructs us that if he does not listen to our personal correction, then we are to take him in front of two others, that is, to whom we trust, not to reveal the discussion that would transpire. Why? Because often is the case when we are caught in sin, it might not be so that we would accept the correction of others. But when two or three more are also present in agreement with the one, because they have either seen the act or know very clearly that the sin was committed, then sometimes the soul comes to his senses. And so our Lord says again, not to take vengeance, but always to have in mind the conversion of the sinner, and not to correct by those means that often disguise a true piety, that is, those subtle reminders that perhaps are left, no direct correction, but simply an attempt to take vengeance, or to correct by innuendo, as is often the case, again, not in the manner that our Lord has instructed us in today's Gospel, but a way to hide the vengeance and in some cases even the hatred that we may have in our hearts for our brethren. And so we are to avoid these means because they do not have that primary intention in mind, the conversion of all, and so we must constantly love one another, even in our sin. Next, he tells us that if he does not listen to the three witnesses, he is to be brought to the church. And by this, our Lord clearly means that he is to be brought to a priest, a pastor, or a bishop, so that the paternal correction of the priest, the pastor, or the bishop may bring him to his senses. But even in this case, he says, if the sin is so egregious that he does not listen to the church, and the church must take the means by which he is excommunicated, we must also understand that excommunication is not the church's means by which to take vengeance, but it is in accord with those principles that St. Paul particularly lays out. He delivered a person over to Satan for a time, and so that he may come to his senses. And so we see very clearly that in all fraternal correction, the intention must be at some point the conversion of the sinner, because we must have in this the same dispositions of the Lord, that we do not wish to see the death of the sinner, but truly we wish to see his conversion. And in a certain sense, we can see we are all guilty, for we all commit sins, we all have faults and failings that in some way offend our neighbor. And so, if our neighbor were to treat us as often as we treat others when we try to make correction, but indeed we are merely trying to disguise the fact that we are taking some form of vengeance or manifesting some form of hatred, whether it be light or whether it be grievous, it is again not in accord with the will of our Lord and Savior. And so we must constantly pray that we always have a good intention, especially in those moments when it is necessary for us to exercise fraternal correction. And ultimately, our Lord says, if the church has decided that the sinner must be handed over to Satan for a time, that is, by the judicial act of excommunication, then he is to be treated like a Gentile or a tax collector. That is, he is to be avoided. We are not to sit down and to eat with him, nor to engage him in conversation. And again, the reason for this is not to take vengeance, but in order that by such means the sinner may truly and finally come to his repentance, there return to the church, seeking the forgiveness of the Lord, and then, as Scripture tells us, putting his hands back on the plow, not looking back, for what is past, sins forgiven are sins forgiven, and they are not to be used as weapons against those who have committed them. And so, we see very clearly that in order to exercise this virtue of fraternal correction in accord with the means of our Lord and the way of our Lord, we must constantly beseech him in prayer and must constantly be strengthened by his grace through the sacramental life of the church. And so, ultimately, fraternal correction is both a call to the one who must on occasion correct his brother and also to the brother, a call to the mercy of Almighty God, because it is a call that each and every one recognize their complete dependence on God for all things. The sinner is dependent upon the grace of God for his conversion, and the one who must correct is dependent upon the grace of God in order to do it in a charitable way, always holding out the mercy of God as the final solution for the trials and tribulations and the faults and failings of our modern era. And so, let us truly rejoice, for in today's Gospel, St. Matthew has told us clearly and shown us quite clearly that the Lord truly does not wish the death of the sinner, but that he wishes all to be converted and to be brought to life, that is, the life that alone can be received through Holy Mother Church, for we are called to a supernatural life. And if we strive for this, then we will establish that culture known as Christendom, that is, that culture that is imbued with the virtues that it acquires from Holy Mother Church. And so it truly becomes a culture of charity, not a culture of vengeance and hatred, as our modern culture seems to become, but truly one in which the mercy of God and the hope of salvation is held out both to saint and sinner, because the saint recognizes the need of the mercy of God in the life of the sinner, and he is willing to do anything insofar as it is in accord with charity. He is willing to do anything to reconcile the sinner with God, because he understands that in the passion, crucifixion, and death of our Lord, Christ truly did everything for us, and so we must strive to do everything for each other because he has first done so for us. And if we do this, then a culture truly becomes a Catholic culture, a culture of charity, a culture of true fraternal, a culture in which fraternal correction is always and everywhere exercised in accord with the will of God. And so it establishes in society a means by which no one will despair of their salvation, because they will always have charity and the mercy of God at their disposal, because nothing will be done to drive them definitively away from Christ, as it seems many of the institutes in our modern society are designed to do. And so let us strive not to compromise with the principles of this world, but always uphold the principles of Christ, so that we always do things in accord with the will of God, who truly does not wish the death of the sinner, because he wishes the sinner to be with him for all eternity in heaven.
Et Jesus.